We're in the bottom of Yud Dalet Amud Beis, in the middle of the sugya we'll just go to do, and more specifically the question of whether Asu B'Shamah K'Divrayim or Losu B'Shamah K'Divrayim. One of the cases that we're discussing is the Mishnah of Tzaras Erva. According to B'Shamah, Tzaras Erva is Muteres La'achim. She needs Yibum or Chalitza. She can't marry Lishuk. According to B'Shamah Hillel, the Tzaras Erva is Pater from Yibum. She's Asu Yibum and she's Muteres Lishuk. And we're discussing whether Beis Shammai in fact held to their own ground as far as being matir the tzara la'achim and having yibum done on her, which obviously for Beis Hillel can create consequences of mamzerus. So do we say asu Beis Shammai k'divrayim or not? Asu k'divrayim. The Gemara Namad Aleph explain what this is dependent on. If it's kodem bas kol, then it would be dependent on whether Beis Shammai yielded to Beis Hillel because they're rov. On the other hand, Beis Shammai is machad litfei, so that would be why Beis Shammai still is asu k'divrayim. If it's after bas kol, then the question would be whether Beis Shammai yielded to Beis Hillel because of the bas kol that said halachik Beis Hillel, or do we say that Beis Shammai held like a Yeshua, the imashkichim the bas kol, even a bas kol like this, and Beis Shammai is asu k'divrayim. So we really had one raya from the previous piece of Gemara that we saw yesterday, that asu Beis Shammai. That asu Beis Shammai k'divrayim. We already had one raya, but the Gemara still continues to try to prove further that in fact asu Beis Shammai k'divrayim, and the Gemara is going to attempt it from here. But from this particular proof, the Gemara is going to be docha. Let's see. And meanwhile, we're going to get into an inyan, which is going to we're going to revisit it on Teslav Amaveis in terms of the nature of the vlad that comes out from a yavama l'shuk, that someone violated yavama l'shuk if she would marry. As we'll see, if indeed she needed chalitza, for example, according to Beis Shammai, what would be the consequences of a woman who married without chalitza and had a child? That will come up in the sugya. But let's see the sugya for itself, the shakla v'tayin. Says the Gemara, Tashma, Da'amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri. We had this mentioned, this proposal that we're going to see now was mentioned earlier in the Gemara as well. What we're about to read. Hech halacha zu revachas b'Yisrael. Let's see how this halacha of Tzaras Abas, Tzaras Erva, is going to impact and how it's going to spread in Klal Yisrael. What's going to happen? What are the implications of the halacha of Tzaras Abas, Lufi Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and the problems that will result from this? Namely, Nasa k'divi Beis Shammai, if we go with Beis Shammai, who says that the tzara could have yibam and maybe misya bemis, then havlad mamzik k'divrei Beis Hillel. Then the child of such a union would, for Beis Hillel, be mamzer because of Beis Yisach. That's a problem on one hand, that Beis Hillel would treat the child of a tzara that got yibam, l'shpishis Beis Shammai, as a mamzer. On the other hand, nasa k'divrei Beis Hillel, if we go with Beis Hillel's shita and we let the Sarah go and marry anyone else without having anything, even chalitza, then havlad pogum with the Beis Shammai. So the child of such a union of a woman who married out without chalitza, yavama l'shuk, that is for Beis Shammai, that would have the result of the child being a pogum, being pasul, as we'll see in the Rashi the details, pasul kahuna. So therefore, we have a problem any way we look at it, Yochanan ben Uri is saying, because Lufi Beis Shammai, if we let that rule go forward, and people annoyed like that, then you get creating mamzerim for Beis Hillel. If you go with Beis Hillel's shita without tempering that, then you have situations of a vlad pogam kuhuna with Beis Shammai. So based on the fact that you have problem any way you work it here, if you go Beis Shammai, you have a problem with Beis Hillel and Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, bo in the second of the Mitzvah, Shayyut, Chotus, Lomis Yavos. So he proposed the following, that we should institute that any situation of Tzaras Erva would need Chalitza. And therefore everybody will live with this situation. Namely, Rashi says, Shilchotzos, we'll come back to the earlier Rashi, Shilchotzos v'inasu l'shuk behechsher l'devi hakol. In other words, this way, Beis Shammai is fine with Chalitza, you don't dafka need Yibum. And Beis Hillel, what harm is done, let her have Chalitza. In which case, you would not have the concern of neither Mamzerus for Beis Hillel, nor of Havlad Pogam for Beis Shammai, because you'd in fact institute Chalitza Midrabbana. This was what Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri wanted to do. But Lemaisa didn't work out. Lo espiku ligmar sadavar ad shenitra fasha. No, they could not follow through on carrying out such a suggestion, and the time passed and it was too late. This is what is alluded to, as I mentioned earlier, when the Gemara says Pshita, when it says in the Mishnah that what would happen if Chotsu. So then it says that Beis Shammai posen b'sil machshirin. That means because the chalitza had no consequence, didn't pass a lekuhuna, and was his pshita. More answers the fugi b'rachim nuri the amar boven nesakin lam with saros kamashmo and b'sil machshirin, meaning that the takana never actually got off the ground. In which case the chalitza did not have any halacha of a chalitza midrabanan that would pass a lekuhuna because they never instituted it, and therefore b'sil would say the chalitza would in fact not pass a lekuhuna. So the Gemara made reference to this this suggestion b'rachim nuri. Meanwhile, the Gemara continues, the Braisa continues, which is where we're going to come to bring the Raya from. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri wanted to do such a thing, but it didn't end up happening. But in terms of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's suggestion, there was opposition. Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel. Shimon Gamliel says to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, this solution is going to have a problem to it, because after all, manaselem with soros harishonos me'ata. If you're going to institute the mikana lehava, you require chalitza for any tzaras ever. What about all those cases before the takana was instituted? What are we going to do in terms of dealing with those tzaras harishonos? Now, what does Gemara think this means? As Rashi explains, meaning that until you came along and intervened with this new takana that tzaras mikana l'habashem chalitza, so what was happening to tzaras in certain cases? They were having yibam. Meanwhile, and they had children. Now, if you don't say anything, so that could be a valid opinion. You're not taking a stand and saying that the Yibam is a problem that could create Mamzerus. So good, so Ufi Beis Shammai, it's not Mamzerus. But now that you're telling me that the new halacha that people are going to accept is that she requires Chalitza, not Yibam, that means to say that we don't allow the Yibam. They're going to see the Yibam as something which is a problem, because it's usher for her to have yibum. So that means that all those tzaros that were mishyabemis until now, according to Beis Shammai, who had children, are going to be treated as mamzerim. Let's say mamzerim, rabbanon, whatever you want to say. But the fact is that we see yibum now as usher. But now, what about all those cases of yibum until now? As Rashi explains, man nasu tzaros rishonus shenis yabmu ubnei mamzerim im nigma halacha shlo yisyabmu. In other words, by taking a stand and saying yibum is usher, what you're doing is you're casting aspersions on all those children of the previous generation of tzaros that had yibum. By saying yibum is usher, now that they're going to view all those children who have been born from the previous tzaros that were mishyabemis as mamzer. So that's that was the taina of Shimon Gamliel on Yochanan ben Nuri. Atkan the Brais. Zok the Gemara now. Iyam bishlam asu. If you take the view that Beis Shammai was asul kidivrei, means that they let the tzaros have yibum, hanu dekama manaseh. Then we understand the taina of Shimon Gamliel on Yochanan ben Nuri, that manaseh, that there were tzaros until now that were having yibum, and by your saying that mikana l'aba only chalitza is good, not yibum, you're going to create a situation where people view those children as mamzerim, because in fact there were. There's a history that there were tzaros that had yibum with fidivrei Beis Shammai, because asul kidivrei, el yamid lo asu mai manas. But if you say that even before that, Beis Shammai deferred to Beis Hillel because they didn't do Kedivrayim, they didn't therefore allow the Yibum, they did like Beis Hillel, they didn't allow the Yibum, which is their own Shita, so then what's the Manasseh? See, from this Braisa you see clearly that evidence that Beis Shammai was also Kedivrayim. That's the Kasha of the Gemara. So Chori, you have another Rai, the also Kedivrayim. Sat the Gemara, no, we can deflect this Rai. The issue of manaseh, with tzaros rishonos, is not about the children of the tzaros that were misyab most of Beis Shammai. La'olam maybe Beis Shammai was lo asu kidivrei. The issue is, as far as the tzara atzma, that what are we going to do in terms of the tzara, meaning as follows. Not vis-a-vis the problem of Beis Hillel on what Beis Shammai did, because Beis Shammai, for all we know, was lo asu kidivrei. But rather, how are we going to deal with Beis Shammai in terms of what Beis Hillel was doing? Because Beis Hillel was certainly also kidivreim, which means that their tzaros until the takana were going out marrying without chalitza, And now you're going to institute what? That the tzaros need chalitza. Now what are we going to look at the situation of all those tzaros that married already someone else without chalitza? So now, manase achi kama. The manase that he's tining about is the following. Hanach tzaros libeis hilel. That means that all those tzaros that until the takana that were remarrying without any need for chalitza, according to the Beis Shita. Now that you're instituting that everyone should require chalitza by the tzaros, libeis shamay hechinavid lohu. So according to Beis Shammai, how are we going to treat these sorrows now for Beis Shammai looking forward? Lechutzu, should they need chalitza now? Because if you need chalitza to remarry chatchila, then once they remarry, you certainly need chalitza in order to keep them there with whoever they married. But that's not a good solution to have to do chalitza while they're married. Nimesu agavrayu, they're going to become ma'us on their husbands, that the husbands have to, you know, have to see that they have to have chalitza from the other brother, of a, you know, of the brother of the previous husband. And the meal will be married already. Let it create the bad feelings. To have a situation where they'll do chalitza while they're married already, and it's going to be Musa Gavrayu, is not Rechedach Inoa. That's the pshat in what Rav Shimon Gamliel was saying. As Rashi explains, Ritzara Atzma. But so as to be Silel, she nisul Ishukai. Those sorrows that they sell were matel shuk for hayu mainasa lava bonim koi. We're not dealing with the children like we thought originally. We're talking about children of those sorrows that were misyavem with shamai. Now that we're dealing with the sorrows that were remarrying from Bisilel without chalitza, we're not dealing with the children. The fil bishamai kshem lekal, because the shamai would have the problem with the children. It's only chayve gaven. But the issue is with tzara atzma, namely that what are you going to do now? They remarried without chalitza. Now to pray chalitza is not dachino. Therefore, we have no right from this brice anymore that asu kidivayim, because it's a different issue. The issue of manasseh is not dealing with the tzaros of Ishamah that was yavmos, what would be refilled, but rather the tzaros of Ishilel, who didn't have chalitza until now, what would be the situation for Ishamah to view that going forward? They would need chalitza once they're remarried, which is not a good option. By the way, this Gemara, just to mention an important point, is a marker for what Rashi says at the end of the parak later on, the parak Yesh Mutaros, Pezayin on the Beis. We mentioned this Rashi in the Tosus Beis Amid Aleph when we discussed Rachel Darchei Noam, in terms of Tosus brings Rachel Darchei Noam in terms of the Indian of Nesra, but Tosus made reference to this Gemara, that the Gemara discusses a question where there were children at the time of the death of the brother, so she apparently wasn't zakuk liyibum. And what would be if then the children died? The issue was called mesim kachayim. So would the require now that she should be zakuk liyibum subsequently when the children die? And so the Gemara says that that cannot be, because you can't interpret the pasuk that way. Rachel Darchei Noam, because it's not Darchei Noam to say such a thing, that once she remarried based on the heter that she had b'shas misa, that there was children when her husband died. She had children. Now that the children died, she should need chalitza. So what exactly is the problem in Rachel Darchei Noam? Should she require chalitza once she was already married? So Rashi explains over there, the very last Rashi in Pesayin and based on the Perikesh Mutaros. That would create a bad feeling. She'd lose her attractiveness to her husband, that she'd need chalitza from the previous husband's brother. So that forces us, Rashi Shidis, Rechad Achinom, it's not its own pitur, it's a way of interpreting the pshat of Vein Engo in the Pasuk. But the point of Rashi that the Rechel Darchei Noam problem per se, so she needs chalitza later, is that she has gone out by law, it's not Rashi's own svar. I mean, that Rashi's the mucker for the actual idea that the require chalitza from the Baal HaSheni is not Darchei Noam because Misgan out by law, that's Mamish HaGemar. It's Mamish HaGemar. That's what you see in this Gemara. The Gemara says that to require chalitza would be Mimsi HaGavrayu, and that's not an option because Rechel Darchei Noam. That's where Rashi got it from. Important just to make the connection there. Okay, so this is the Gemara for itself in terms of the Shaka V'Tari. But now we're going to get into an interesting Inyan, which really carries over to the Tes Vavam at Beis, and also to various sugyas later on in Yavamis. It's good to restart it now. L'maisa, what does it say in the words of Yochanan ben Nuri. That what's the problem in front of us? Should we do like Beis Shammai and let them continue to get Yibum? Then have a mamzik to be Bisila. Should we? It's interesting. Stam, I'm thinking now. Why would not be a right at Asuki Devarim? Just that alone. If it was not, it's just about the Gemara only brings it from later, from Shem Gamliel's time. Heard from the very words of Yochanan ben Nuri. I've read mamzik. Sounds like we have a situation of mamzerus because they would Asuki Devarim. Don't know. Just hit me now as a horror. Not sure. On the other hand, what does Yochanan continue? Should we follow Beis Hillel? Then what would be? Then have Vlad Pogam with the Beis Shammai. So to allow the Tzaras Habas, Tzaras Erva, to simply be free to remarry without any need for Chalitza, such a child would be Pogam with Kuhuna. Let's explain what this means. So Rashi says, go back to the earlier Rashi, yeah? Vlad Pogam with Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai would treat the child as Pogam, meaning, Dimaya Kohen, so Rashi focuses on a male child. In the child was a Kohen, Pasul Kohuna, he'd be Pasul Kohuna. Now, let's understand, what's the marker for such a thing? So first of all, stop to know this, Rashi focuses on the man. That's interesting in its own right. The problem of the Vlad Pogam Rashi says if he's a Kohen, be Pasul Kohuna. Now, L'chor, where does that problem come from? How does the Kohen lose the status of being a Kohen because his mother happened to have been a woman who needed Chalitza? Kohen Beis Shammai, Tzara Seven needs Yibum Chalitza. And in fact, she married a Kohen. She didn't get her Chalitza. And now there's a child, and he's a Kohen. No, he's not. I'm glad Pogam. So where does this psul come from? L'chayra, the issur that was violated by the parents was chay v'lavin. It's only chay v'lavin. The afagav the bnei chay v'lavin k'sherim l'kahal. So in terms of the issue of where they can marry into Kal Yisrael, so the rule is clear. Chay v'lavin k'sherim l'kahal. We're not dealing with mamzerus. Mamzerus is a problem, they can't marry into Kal Yisrael. But Chai V'Lavin, we hold, is not a mamzer. So that's true in terms of Ksherim L'Kal. But nevertheless, Chalolim Heim L'Inyan Kohuna. But in terms of Kohuna, Chai V'Lavin create Chalolus. Where we know that? The Asa B'Kal V'Chomer Me'Almano Kohen Gadol Kaman B'Shmait. The Rashi flashes us ahead to test Vav Amid Beis, that the Gemara makes mention of the Kal V'Chomer Me'Almano. So let's take a peek at that Gemara, even though you know we haven't gotten there yet, but it's all interconnected and it's all part of the same sugya. In terms of the way the Gemara plays out with the Zinyanim of Tzara Sabah, so it comes back to it. What we have in Tess Vavim Beis in more detail . So again, it comes up in the Shakra type Asu Lo Asu, but meanwhile there was a statement of Rabbi Yeshua there who said, and it's all going to be mentioned by Tosis as well by us, that Tzara Shabbas, he didn't want to take a stand, he was very nervous about taking a strong stand on the question of Tzara Shabbas because it's a very fiery machokas and the implications and the stakes were very high. But meanwhile he said, the Siyariani, what to say? The question was posed to him about the Tzara Shabbas and the children of the Tzara Shabbas. And the Gemara says that really Rabbi Shua shouldn't have such a problem. The stakes weren't seemingly as high. Because Rabbi Shua's shita happens to be in the question of what makes a mamzer, that it's not chayvi krisus, it's chayvi misus bezin, the bar is higher. That's one of the tanaim later that we have in what makes a mamzer. Rabbi Kiva says even chayvi lavin. The middle shita of Shimon Timani says it's chayvi krisus, which is what we paskin. And Shua says only chayvi misus bezin. Now, Tzara Shabbas is not Mrs. Basedin. As we saw earlier, right, the Gemara made mention the possibility that Basil holds like this, but the Gemara says, no, it's not true. Hakomodin, that Chavi Krisus makes Mamzer. But Lemaisa, Eshesach, does not a Mamzer make. And Tzara doesn't make Mamzer either, the violation of a Tzara's Erva for Basil. So what's the big deal for Bishua? It's not such a big deal as much, because it's only going to be, it's not going to be a Mamzer, but the Gemara makes the following point in the middle of the Gemara on Tesla and Beis. Nihi nami demamse lahavi pagum miyahavi. That is to say that the children of the union of a tsara, here we're talking about tsara meaning to say that according to Beis Shammai, she would have Yibum, and according to Beis Hillel, she shouldn't have had Yibum. Well, her would in the other way. In other words, it's Sarah that was Nisesh Kishuk without Chalitza for Beis Shammai. Either way, we're not talking about the level of Mamzer, but nevertheless, Pogum Yahadi. It would create a Pagam in the child. Why? It says, "Gomer kavuchomer me'almana." We know by almana that if a kohen gadol marries an almana, so he violates a lav. Lo yichal of isha almana, let's just say, almana lo yikachu, right? What's the pasuk say exactly? Pasuk says, kohen gadol. So among the things that the Kohen Gadol is Muzer is Amana lo yikach. Now, suppose a Kohen Gadol violates that Isser, takes an Amana. He's a Kohen Gadol, means he's a Kohen, plus he's a super Kohen, he's a Kohen Gadol. Now he violates Amana, the lap of Amana, and he has a child. So the halacha is, what's the status of that child? Status is what the pasuk says right afterwards. The next pasuk, well, yichal zaro be'amon. He should have machal zaro. Means that the child of such a union becomes a chal. What's the scope of the avera? The chomer avera is only chay v'lav. So now the question is, how can we extrapolate from the fact that a kohen gadol marries an almana, the child is a cholol? So how do we extrapolate to that to other chay v'lav? So the gemara says the following: that pagum miyahavi mikavachom me'almana mal manash eni sura noy. Bekal, it's a kal relative to other isuri chay v'lavin, because almana is not known for everybody, only for an almana, for a kohen gadol can't marry an almana, and yet b'na pogum, the child is pogum zu she isura shavu bekal, and so on. Let's continue on that gemara because it's important to recognize. So Rashi sent us to this gemara. Rashi says that when Rav Yochanan ben Nuri stated that that should you have a child of a woman who was a tzaras erva, that for Bisilo she remarried without anything, so that child for Beis Shammai would be pogum. So Rashi explains, even though he's kasha l'kol, it's only chay v'lavin that was violated, but chalom in kuna da'asav kavachomer amana kam b'shmait. It's Rashi's quoting this kavachomer. Ma almana l'kohen gadol. That it's not shavah b'kol, it's not a laugh to everybody. Only kohen gadol is musav almana. And yet, v'lichal zar v'yamma, the child becomes a chol, koshkein this with the sur shavah b'kol. But let's see a little further in the Gemara, because all this is going to be relevant for the background for Tosa. So we just have it already in our minds, and we'll see Tosa. So in that Gemara, the Gemara continues. Bottom of Tesla on the base. The Gemara wonders, wait a second. Kabbalah min Eitzaris, the Kapasha de Levin Eitzaris. In other words, seemingly the question was asked of Yeshua, Saras Abbas Mahu. And then he talks about how he's afraid to take a stand on it because of the fact that the child would be a pogum. But where the question was, the tzara or the child? Sigmar answers, Tarti Kabbalah Mene. The Maaseh, they ask him two things. Tzaros Mai, number one, what about the tzaros? What's the status of the tzaros? Can they remarry? Do they need chalitza, yivam? The intim tzaloma tzaros can be silal. And if you tell me tzaros let be silal, she can remarry. So now what's the effect on the child of Lefiu Beis Shammai? The Nei tzaros to be silal Beis Shammai Mahu. Now, what kind of question is that? My nafka mina. In other words, we hold that if you tell me like the tzaros could be married to Bisilo, so why do you want to know what would Beis Shammai say about the children? So he explains why he's asking such a question. My nafkamina, lemifshat vlad masli grushoso lebisilo. Because what the answer will be for the vlad of a woman who remarried without chalitza, the tzaras habas, that is. But b'shamai, that will reveal, there was a, the Yisra Yivama Lashuk was violated. And then as a child, so whatever is going to be the psak of that child, the status of that child, will help us understand what would be the status of the Vlad Malzik Rishasso, which is for any, and again for everybody. And what's the study hashayla? So, the Gemara says, the study hashayla as follows. Mikra amin kavachomer. Do we make a kavachomer and say the following? Uma amon ha-kohen gadol she'ini surah shabbat b'kol b'na pagum. We see a mono kohen gadol is an isurah that's not so chomer because it's ain't shabbat b'kol, it's only for kohen gadol. And yet, will tell me that b'na pagum. So therefore, zushi surah shabbat b'kol and din shabbat b'na pagum. So too, the isur yivam l'shuk that Beis Shammai would see as having been violated over here by the Tzaras Erva, that she didn't have Chalitza, would certainly be B'na Pagum. In which case, who had been Ma'asa Grushasa, which was a Lav, so what would be Nageya? The child would be Pagum Akuna, mean they couldn't be Truma. Not talking about the fact that she's also Kohen, it's anyway true, she's a Grusha, so that's not Nageya, that is true. But the B'na be Pagum, she couldn't be Truma. So that's on the one hand. What's the other side of this issue? So now we see there's another side, not so pashut. Odil me'ikal mifrach, kavachom ez apircha, mal almana she atzma mischaleles. That almana is different, you think it's kal, it really has a chumra to it, because she's also mischaleles. She's also mischaleles. But yichalos, she becomes psula as well to ordinary kohen once she married a kohen god. And therefore maybe because she atzma mischaleles, that's what the children as well. But by Sharecha Ve'Lavin, like the Mazi Grushasso, we wouldn't necessarily assume that she'll become Pagum Akuna. So it's not so clear that this Kavu Chomer is going to yield the result that we're saying, that Ochai Ve'Lavin, the children are Pagum Akuna. Because maybe Amon HaKohen Gadol is not a good basis for the Kavu Chomer. So that's the Shaila that was asked. To which he responded what he responded, that Saros Anim Siyari Ani, B'nei Saros Ani Meid Lachem. Which means that Yeshua came down on the side, that B'nei Saros are fine, with Beis Shammai and who are then there for Ma'asa Grushasso seemingly. In other words, L'chora, Yeshua is saying that I don't accept the Kal V'chomer because of the Pirchav he has from Mischaleles. This is important for the Tosis. Maybe it's Kedai Siyabay the Rashi. All this very good, very nogeya. Let's just see the Rashi on some of this. So, the Gemara was from Ha'amar Rabbi Yeshua. So the Gemara's kasha was that Rabbi Yeshua says that Imam from Machai Mizu Beisdin. So what's the fear here? Why is he Misyari Ani? Yeshua says that Imam from Machai Mizu Beisdin. Therefore, even if the Lacha can be Silel, it's not a Mamzer problem here. It's not Machai Mizu Beisdin. So the Gemara says, but it's still Pagum. Then the Gemara says, but did he ask about the children or he asked about the tzara? So the Gemara says he asked about both. And what it was, the shiloh got me the children. The shiloh was, what would be for Beis Shammai on the children of those tzaros that were married out according to Beis Shammai? Oh, but before this, the Gemara says, it's still a pogrom. It's still going to be a pogrom. Why? Kavachom me'almana. Now let's understand. What is a kavachom me'almana? The case over here was, if the tzara was misyabemes, kidibi beis shamay, that would create a problem, not of mamzeres from Yeshua, because it's not misus beisdin, but a problem of chalolus, of the children being pagum akumna. Why kavachom me'almana? Let's keep this in mind. But in terms of the kavachom, when it comes out the other way around, Beis Shammai, what would Beis Shammai say on the tzaros of Beis Hillel that remarried? That was also Kavachomer. But the Gemara says that was a Pircha. He asked from Mischaleles. So what happened over here? And Rabbi Yeshua accepted the Pircha. So what's the difference? There's another Gemara that has to come into this that Rashi's going to quote for us. L'chor, there are two different issues to consider with Gavi Pgam HaKuhuna. Remember, there's the problem of Beis Shammai talking about the children of the tzaros of Yisrael that remarried, and that seems to be the shayla that was posed to Rabbi Yeshua. Do we have a kavachomer from Amman, or do we say it's a pircha of Yisrael Mischaleles? And Rav Yochanan ben Nuri in our Gemara, who made a statement that she's for sure Pagam Kohuna Mutabe Beis Shammai, is assuming that we do have a Kama Chomer. That's what Rashi says right now. Kama Mishmaitin. And then we have the other way around. That what would be with the Vlad of the Tzara that was Mishyabemes, Mutabe Beis Shammai, so what would be so say about that? So if you hold Namza, it comes from Chavi Krisus, and the answer is Mamza. If you hold that it's not a Mamza yet, so the Gemara says, but it would certainly be Pasul Pagam Kohuna. Why? Because it's a Kavah Chomer. But here there isn't another side to it. Here it's clearly a Kavah Chomer. So that's what Rashi is going to soon point out. Let's see the rest. So why was he asking the question? B'nei Tzara is to be filled with Chavi Lavi Neino Miha V'Pukum and Alubit B'Shamay. That was the question that he asked. Might not gemina the mifshat. Why must you do rishat submission? These six la'achiv echzira biyolda lo bas also bas mayuk kohanim ubisilo ubishamai mibnei tzaris nishma ubisilo ubas malzik rishat so davina michay v'lavin. He asked mischalelus. She imes kohen gadol psula zu ahedir. Let's say kohen gadol dies, she can't marry kohen hev either. Om haisa bas kohen if sells in a truma. Another reason mischalelus in truma. Dishavi chalob biyaso. And so both are mischalali. Chal zaro be'amav, meaning the wife is also mischalalis, meaning truma. Tom b'marzigusha, so she mischalalis b'biyazu. The marzigusha, so the woman herself is not mischalalis. Gabi kohen, she's anyway asu. Gabi truma, she's not mifsila. Why not? So first understand, why isn't the woman who now is violated the isa marzigusha by going back to her first husband? Why is she nifseles from Truma? Ein nifseles of bias chai v'lav and el bizar etzla meikara. The pasuk that talks about the psul Truma is kisir le'ish zar. And you need someone who's zar meikara. Here she, this case is not zar meikara. She was originally allowed to marry him. She was married him, then she married the other one. Now she can't marry him. L'fuki ma'afik v'shah so, v'yivam l'shuk. D'lav zar meikara. So understand. The pircha of hiat from mischaleles, that almana is different than the case of chayv lavin that you want to learn to, is true by which case of chayv lavin that she wouldn't become mischaleles and pasul truma. Two cases: mazal grishav, so she's not going to be mischaleles, and also by yivam l'shuk, she's not mischaleles. And that's where there's a pircha on the kavah chomer. But now, what about the case earlier that we spoke about of the Chavi Krisus? V'le'il gabi Chavi Krisus b'nei Tzaros to Beit Shammai, that means Beit Shammai's b'nei Tzaros that were mithyavmas. D'lo parachina ma'lamana shekoyen gada shekiniyat mischaleles. There's no pircha. There it's clear cut that the children will be pigumin. Chasam nami kimen de nivalo l'chavi Krisus asa zona. U'mitruma de beinasha mifsila kidamim perakamana koyen gadol. There, since Nivolo Chayvi Krisus creates Zona, and therefore she becomes Pasul Truma. Rashi is basing this on the Gemara later. In other words, Nivolo Chayvi Krisus Pasul Truma. This Rashi, by the way, is the Rashi that Tosus quoted back on Daf Yud Gimel on the days. Dibra Hamasko Beisilu posted in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "What would happen if Nisyabmu Beisilu Machshirin Beisilu posted? Posted for what?" Rashi says, "Posted Asur Kahuna." Rashi and the Gemara elaborates, she's a Zona. She married the Yavam, which she wasn't supposed to because she's Pater from Yibam. So it's Chavi Krisus of Eish Zach. She's a Zona, Psula Kohuna. But Truma, says Rashi, she doesn't become Pasul. Tosa says, no, Rashi's wrong. Yef Shaloma came. Why? Because the Gemara says in Acholes that Chavi Krisus makes a Zona, and Zona Sura B'Truma Kamash in the Farish, but Rashi Ashmo Chazar B'Sof Pirka. That's the Rashi we just read. Rashi we just read. So So let's cheshbin out what we have. That kind of gemara, but just knowing what we have in terms of Avon's base. Rav Yochanan ben Uri is making a statement, matter of fact, that the tsaros of his Hillel would have children. They remarry without chalitza, they have children. Beis Shammai would consider those children pagum mekun. Says Rashi, by us, Yudalim Beis, where does that psul come from? Kavchom me'almano kamam bishmaitin. Now, the kamam bishmaitin, the Gemara talks about the kavchomer for two different cases. One case is the case that we have right now, we just talked about, the tsaros of Yisrael lefi Beis Shammai, where the aver was chai ve'lamin. L'maisa, on that case, the Gemara had a shaila, whether we in fact make a kavachomer to aser her l'kuhuna lefi Beis Shammai. The Gemara wanted to know what would be for Beis Shammai, because it would have enough kamin for Malzik v'shasa would be done. Because what's true about the chai ve'lamin Beis Shammai in this case would be true for us as well, Malzik v'shasa. But meanwhile, what is Tavi Ashayel? Do we make a kavachomer? Do we say no? Almana is hiyatza mischalelis. That's where the child is pasul l'kuhuna. But therefore, in this case, she's not mischalelis. Why is she not mischalelis? Because she's not zarat from zar meikara. So the psul of truma is only with zar meikara, and the case over here and Malzik v'shasa both are not zar meikara. So that's a shayel. So which means that Rashi is saying Yochanan ben Uri here is taking a stand in that shayel. He holds it's not a pirch. The other case that the Gemara mentioned this kavachomer in the connection to was the case of the tzaros of Beis Shammai according to Beis Hillel, where the vera was chai v'krisus, where what would Beis Hillel say on the children? So Rav Shua himself holds chai v'krisus based in needs makes mamzer, chai v'krisus doesn't, so it's not going to make mamzer, but it would be pasul kuhuna based on the kavachomer. And the other Gemara makes the kavachomer without any caveats. Says Rashi, what do you mean? Why not say the kircha mai malav manas shiach mischalelis? Teretz is like the Gemara says in Acholei, that Tosus quoted. The Gemara says in Acholei to the contrary. Since Chai V'Krisus makes a zona, so she becomes pasul truma based on becoming a zona. Therefore, Chai V'Krisus would be machalul har l'kahuna from truma from eating truma. That means, therefore, there's no kircha. Therefore, the children would have the psul kahuna. Again, on Tesvavam Beis, the Kavachomer is mentioned in two different connections, Beis Shammai with Beis Shammai. In one connection, it's clear that the Kavachomer will pass with the children because there's no pircha you can make because the woman who's Chai V'Krisus will in fact become pasul l'truma. On the other hand, in the case the other way around, where it's only Chai V'Lavin, Beis Shammai is response to Beis Hillel's tzaros, there it's not clear that you could use the Kavachomer because it may be a pircha. Yochanan ben Uri is talking about that case, and Yochanan ben Uri is saying that the children are problem. Okay, I hope, it sounds complicated, I hope it helps, because now the Tosis will be much better. Let's go through the Tosis now. Naser k'divi b'silo havlad pagam u'divi b'shamay. Perish b'kuntus. The afagav de b'nei chai ve'lavin k'sherim l'kol chalom ha'im le'nin kuhuna the asri b'kavachom me'almona k'dil kamon. That even though the Kashem would call, but there's still a Sulukuna based on the Kavachomer. That's what Rashi says. Tosus has to comment here, has something to say. Upalig Adir Rav Yeshua. Which means, therefore, the following. The Yochanan ben Uri argues on Rav Yeshua. Veles le pircha de magamana shekeniyat mischalelis. Notice if you look in that Gemara, we just read the Gemara, we saw the Rav Yeshua himself comes along and says, you should know that the tzaros of Beis Hillel, lefi Beis Shammai, are ksherim l'kuhuna. Meaning, he thought that the kavachomer is not going to work. Why not? Because the pircha would be that mala amana, that he has from chalelis, that's where the children are problem. And therefore, you can't use that to learn after the case of Yivam l'shuk, that Beis Shammai would not necessarily pass on the children the kuhuna. So, which means that Rav Yochanan ben Uri, who's saying, matter of fact, that the child of this union of tzaros that remarried without chalitza with Beis Shammai would be considered pogum, says Rashi, based on kavachomer, means that Yochanan ben Uri argues on Rabbi Yeshua, come on. Having seen the Gemara, we understand what this is saying right now. Okay, now it gets interesting. Tosa says there's another possibility. This is different than Rashi. even if Tosfos is now going to bring a whole new set of variables which do not get mentioned in the Gemara on Tesla from the base in the discussion of Tsaras Erva of Beis Hillel Lufi Beis Shammai. The Gemara's only issue on the table with Tesla from the base was, do we say Kal v'chomer or do we say it's a pircha of the Yefim Mischalelos? It's all it's mentioned in the Gemara. In which case, Yochanan ben Nuri, who's assuming that there is a Kal v'chomer, would have to be against Rabbi Yishu. Tosfos is saying there's a whole new cheshbon that we can bring in as follows. V'od yesh lomer, d'shapir yisrei hachpirch. Really, Yochanan ben Nuri in our Gemara, in our Braisa, also accepts the pircha of Mala Amana Shekinat Mischalelis. And therefore, a Kal v'chomer will not be enough to create halacha that the Vlad is pogum, in this case, the Tsaras Erva that was Nisus Rishuk of Ibisilo, that Beis Shammai would pass over the child with Kauna, not based on the Kal v'chomer, rather something else. Mikol makom Vlad pogum for the following rationale. Mi de itzrich b'machzigrushasa, he toeva ve'en baneha toevin. We had this drasha that was mentioned kudapim ago that it says ki soeva he lefnei Hashem in the lav machzigrushasa, and we have a mute soeva he ve'en baneha toevin, that the children are not tainted. So the Torah had to go out of its way to tell me by Malchus Grushaso, by the Ebeir Malchus Grushaso, that if he takes back the Grusha after she remarried to someone else, that the children are not tainted. And why does the Pasuk have to tell me that the children are not tainted? Why would you think they would be tainted? It's only Chayvei Lavin. Why would there be a problem in the children? Lekal, certainly no problem. And Lekuhuna. So what would be the basis of making a psul, Kal v'chomer, Malmana? But no, V'lama Likra. If we say that the Kal v'chomer doesn't hold because of the pircha, the Hagashim the Kal v'chomer d'almana, Dikel mifrach, shekinimash mischalelis. So why does the Torah have to go out of its way to tell me that the Malzik Rushaso child is not a Toeva, he's not tainted, Lekal for sure he's not tainted. And the Kuhuna, there's no reason to think yes, because there's no Kal v'chomer, because we hold there's a pircha in the Kal v'chomer. So why is it tough to tell me that the child is not tainted? The Teretz is, El da'asi le'medak, it's there for a deal. What's the deal? Kal kayotze b'zos, another case like this, another case of Chayvei Lavin, similar to this one, there, da'ayin yivam l'shuk, b'nei ha'to'avin. In other words, the miut of Ein Bana Toevin, which is not needed in Gufei, is there to tell me the case of Yivam Lashuk that the children are tainted the Kuhn. Comes out, we have two different ways to come away with the idea that child is pogum. By the case of Yivam Lashuk, meaning for this case, it's Tzoras Erva, that was Nisus Lashuk, Ufi Daf Bezil, what we shall say, what would be the reason why the child would be pasul Kuhna? One reason is we say Kal v'chomer l'amana and we dismiss the pircha of the Yafim Mischalelis. Alternatively, it's the diuk of the pasuk that the Torah needs to tell me that Ein Banat Toevin by Malzik Grushav. So, why do you have to tell me Ein Banat Toevin? Manafshach. Anyway, I would know that the children would be tainted because there's no basis for the Kal v'chomer. If we assume the pircha and the Kal v'chomer, the Teretz is for the diuk. Of the children are tainted. Okay, interesting. So far, so good. So it comes out, Yochanan ben Nuri could be understood in one of two ways. This, that he says, but not pogum, but pogum. Either based on Kal v'chomer, he argues in Rabbi Yishua later, or he's masking to Rabbi Yishua that there's no Kal v'chomer, but who used the diuk of the pasuk of Ein Banat Toevin, what do you have to tell me for the other case, that they're Banat Toevin. You have to know if there could be nafkaminas between the two makoros. If you're going to darshan that the child is pogum by Yivam Lashuk based on Kal v'chomer, or if it's based on the svara of Tabanet Toevin. Interesting thing to think about. There's been nafkamina here between what the makor is. You have to know. No, it's a very more intricate word. To keep it simple. Let's see weiter in Tosis. Avokasha. Vektosus to be sof nida, the end of nida, masik Rabbi Yeshua, the vlad masik gushasu kasha, mishum the hitoeva ve'en banet toavin. Chora, Rabbi Shua minei uvei is very difficult. Rabbi Shua said as follows, that the Vlad of Masi Grushasa was kosher, and you know why? Because of the drasha of Ein B'nei Tolavet. It means that he subscribes to that drasha, and that's what he knows, that's how he knows that the children of that union, of the Vlad, the Aveira, of the Vlad Masi Grushasa are kosher kohuna. Because of the drasha. Now, that drasha should have no relevance for Bishua himself. No relevance. Why? Because look, figure it out. Because mitzad the likra. In other words, mitzad a kavachomer of almana. He says in the foolish that there's no. We don't make the kavachomer. And adarab and there's no and to make a diuk that bnei avam l'shuk. He holds that they're kosher later as well. That they're pasul kuna. What was his response to the shayla that was asked of him? They asked him two shaylas. Tell me, tsaros. So the answer was beisilo. And what would be according to Beis Shammai and the bnei tsaros? Meaning, do we have a kavachom or not? And his answer was that they're mamish kashu kuna gdola. So obviously, not only does he not hold the kavachomer, but he doesn't know of any makar that should create a pgam in the child of a yivamelish of yivamelishukis. So then, what is he doing? Quoting the Gemara, the b'masik rishas of the embanat toevin. Who needs a pasuk? You don't need a gufe. You don't need it for the diuk. Rishu himself. That means that he doesn't subscribe to the kavachomer, and he says mifurish that the Yivam Lishuk and Beit Shammai are totally fine. So he holds the bottom one. What does he hold? That there's no problem by Chayvei Lavin seemingly of tainting the child of Kuhuna. I mean, Yivam Lishuk is kashul Kuhuna, the child of such a union, and there's no kavachomer for Ammana. So then, what does he need the drush of Ein B'nei Tolavet Masi Grushasa? It's not to tell me Yivam Lishuk because he holds the Takamut. So what is he doing mentioning the drush at all? What is the drush relevant for? Lafuki, what does the drush have to tell me? Not Ligufei, you don't need it. You don't need it for the other case because it's not true. The other case is also Mutter. So why is the Rishuk coming quoting such a drush? So far, Tosfos has introduced besides the kavachomer a second layer that's not mentioned in the Gemara later in terms of the diuk of the pasuk of toeva he ibn toeva that the other case has been a toeva, but the same way Bishua doesn't agree with that. So now Tosfos introduces another element of what could taint the children, a new point. What could taint the child by Yivam Lishuk? We have kavachomer that could affect Masi Grushasa as well if I go with the kavachomer. Possibly, Yivam Lishuk could be based on the diuk of the Niyod Masi Grushasa, which can't be from Yeshua, but maybe our Gemara can be seen that way. But meanwhile, we have to get to another possible reason to taint the children by Masi Grushasa, so that the pasuk has to come l'miyute, because the Yeshua quotes the pasuk. So Tosfos as follows: the Yeshloma, the Rabbi Yeshua itzbrich he toeva, the Ein B'nei Tolavet, the lo tema, b'nei tolavet mishum dechsiv batuma karayis. It says by Malzah Grusha, so the Russian Tumach Ve'eshel Tamor. And if it says Tumakarayis, that could be the basis of tainting the children. Wait a second, Tumakarayis, is it so clear that it's going in Malzah Grusha? So what's it going on? I thought it was going on Sota. Va'afilu Rabban and Yosef Ben Kippur. Dumuk Mila Sota, that they said the Pasuk is the Russian of Tumah is going on Sota. Because you don't call this Tumah, the case Masi Grushasa is not called Tumah. Yosef and Kippur felt it's going on Masi Grushasa. And it's only Minan Asuin for that reason. That was the sugya earlier. But Rabbanan said that no, that it's not going on. It's not going on Masi Grushasa. It's going on Sotah Shenistera. But nevertheless, Ha'amaran, Dein Mikir Siyah Pshuto. But we said that it's possible for the Rabbanan that even if it's going to be Iker and Sotah, but we said that it could be a dinner, it could Aser and Sarah based on Mikir Pshuto. So therefore, if it's Emet Rishuto, then you can also take the din of Tumakarais and taint the children based on Tumakarais. Because even for the Rabbanan of Yosef Ben Kippur, because that is going on Sotah Shenistera, but Emet Rishuto, so it can taint the children. Tumakarais is said, Lefi Pshuto Shel Mikvah. But there was a tzad in the Gemara that it's yakir yakir. Because the Gemara wasn't sure that you can use tuma karais and lasik bishasu fi rabbanan to ask the tzara liyibum. Because the yakir yakir, it's no longer shaykh to the context of lasik bishasu. La filu man dama kim yakir yakir, mikom makam itzvich ito eva. The low tema amazik bishasu namikai. Fascinating thing. Listen to this. Agili on the early Gemara. Yaker, Yaker is only true after the fact that we have Hitoeva. In other words, Yaker, Yaker is not on our own. Hagufa. Because you would have thought that Tumakarayas is still Shayach to Mazik Rishasa, to taint the child. Because even if it's going to be Iker and Sota, but there's still an Iker and Sipshuta. And I, without the drasha of Ein Bonet Toavin, I wouldn't yet say Yaker Yaker. Now, the Gemara Shaila, do we say Yaker Yaker or do we say Emes Yibshuta? But even the Tzad of the Gemara that says Yaker Yaker is only a Shaykh to say such a Tzad because we have the drasha that says Ein Bonet Toavin. So the Megal, the reason why Rabbi Yeshua needed to quote in Nida Daf Ayin, that the children of Mazik Rishasa were not pogum, are not a problem, is because you would have, because you, and it's because of the drasha of Toevin, he, the Imbonet Toevin, what would you think that the children are Toevin? Why would you think such a thing? The Kabbal Chomer doesn't accept, and to need it for the miut to be a miut for Yavam Lishuk, he also doesn't accept. So what's he doing quoting the Pasuk at all? The Teretz is because of the Tumak Sima Karayis, that even if you hold that it's Be'ikah going on Sota, but there could have been a possibility that it makes it Pshuto, and even though the Gemara before seems to say that there's a possibility to say Yaakov Yaakov, but all of that is only after the fact that we have the Pasuk. Chavir, this is what Tosafos says. It's a new dimension, new factor here in considering why the children of some of the Chayvei Lava, namely, Mazik Rishasa, now you can start thinking about Sota as well, Chanami. The children of the union of a violation of the Isisota should be have a problem based on Tumas of Karayis. Fascinating. Okay, none of this is mentioned in the Gemara later, right? On Tetzvah and Beis. A whole new possibility of the children. Mazik Rishasa based on Tumas of Karayis. Now, this idea that Tumas of Karayis could taint the children, what does it mean? Taint them in what way? Make mamzer? That can't be, because Rav Shua holds that mamzer is only Mises based. So Chayra, just because it's Harayis, doesn't make mamzer either for Rav Yeshua. Remember, Rav Yeshua is of the opinion that only Mises based makes mamzer. So even Achosisha doesn't make mamzer. So why would you think that the mamzer Grushasso would create a child of mamzer for Rav Yeshua? It doesn't necessarily meet the standard of Mises based. It's only Karayis. So what does Tosis mean? That Tumak Siba Karayis could be a reason to change the child not as a mamzer, but as a pagam kohuna. Where do we know such a thing? That even for Rabbi Yeshua, that Chayvei Krisus doesn't make mamzer, but Chayvei Krisus would taint the kohuna. Where do we know such a thing? So if you went to Cholek, you can see the Gemara Mefurish later on, and Daf, Memdaud in the base, right? The Gemara says, as follows, toward the bottom, Ella Hachidmar Hakol Modin Biba Al Chayve Krisus Shavlad Pagum Man Hakol Modin Rabbi Yeshua The Afagav Da'om Rabbi Yeshua Ein Mamze Michayve Krisus Nihi De Mamze Lohavi Pagum Miahavi Mikavachomer Mealmana Umamana Koin Gadish Eni Sura Yisra Shavako Bna Pagum Zushu Yisra Shavako Endin Shav Bna Pagum That's the Gemara that Rashi quoted on a daf later. That here, Gabi, the Chayvei Krisus, Hakol Modim, we have a Kal V'Chomer. Because there's no Pircha of Yatz Mischaleles, because the woman who was taken by Chayvei Krisus would also become a Zona and Pasul Truma. So there's a Kal V'Chomer Devi Hakol. So therefore, we have a halacha that an erva of Chayvei Krisus passels the child. How do we know that? Based on the Kal V'Chomer. Now that we know that, so now if it says Tumah Karayis in a certain place, what would I have thought? that the case that the Torah writes to Makarais would have the same halacha of passing the child the kuna. What's quite ironic here is, even though the lundis of the Kal v'chomer could not work on Machzik Rishasa, because Machzik Rishasa, l'chayra, you have a pircha in the Kal v'chomer. But Machzik Rishasa, what would be her halacha? Would she be mishaleles by Machzik Rishasa? She would not be, because it's not zar. It's not zar meikara. That's what Rashi says a daf later, right? It's not zar meikara. She originally was married to him. So it's ironic, because the very halacha to change the child by chayvei krisus is predicated on the Gemara. Gemara says on the Kal v'chomer, because in that case the Kal v'chomer does work, because you can't make the pircha of hiatzma mischaleles, because who had been over here by chayvei krisus, hiatzma becomes a zona, she pasul truma. So therefore the Kal v'chomer works to tell me that chayvei krisus can pasul the child. Now that I know that the chayvei krisus can pasul the child, so now if I have a tumah k'sura k'arayis, so just like arayis, whatever is a little tafsi kedushin, tosis on the bottom will be a mevelon basis. Even Rabbi Yeshua is maskim that ain't kedushin tofis in the chayvei krisus, and shem's nuas is totally in tefisus kedushin. So even though a mamzer wouldn't be, but tefisus kedushin wouldn't have. So there's two levels in Rabbi Yeshua. There's mamzer, that's tefisus beizdin, but there's chayvei krisus of lo tafsi kedushin. A lo tafsi kedushin makes a zona. Lo tafsi kedushin makes a zona, so therefore it would also create a problem in the child, because it could use a kal v'chomer of almana. But that thing is the chesh b'nei. If almana can make so in the child, so too a kal v'chomer to chayvei lavin. But wait, sometimes you could ask a pircha. He has mischaleles. So by chayvei lavin, that he actually is not mischaleles, perhaps the suffix of the Gemara, whether you can make kal v'chomer. But Rabbi Yeshua says you can make a kal v'chomer. But in the case of what? In the case of chayvei krisus, where it's lo tafsi kedushin, so there, a lo tafsi kedushin makes a zona. If it makes a zona, then there's no pircha on the kal v'chomer that alman is different, she has mechaleles. Because here too, she becomes pasul truma, basically becoming a zona. So what do you see? So chayvei krisus can pasul the child. No, if that's true, that chayvei krisus passes a child, so now if I have a case of tumah k'sura k'arayis, so I would have every reason to think that the child becomes pagam kuna based on the halacha that a chayvei krisus, an erva that doesn't allow kedusha to be tofes, creates a problem in the child. Namely, mazik rishasso. Even though the reason why by chayvei krisus the pagam in the child is based on the kavachomer, which is only a valid kavachomer if we say that he acts from his chaleles, but in the case that we're talking about now that says Tumah, Masik Rishasa, we don't have the action of Mischaleles. But nevertheless, but that's a separate issue. We don't have to hang it back on the whole reason for why the halacha is a child's problem. We have to just hang it on the fact that the halacha stands, that an erva passels the child in Kuna. We know that because of a Kabbalah Chomer, the Chayvei Krisus with Tafsik Kedushin makes him gamma the child in Kuna. Once I know that, now Tumah Seva Karayis, wherever you would apply it, would have the same halacha. I don't have to go back to the rationale, the mechanism of why the child becomes tainted with kuhuna by chayvei krisus. The halacha is such. Once the Kal v'chomer tells me the halacha, that chayvei krisus, lo tafsi kedushin, makes up gam in the child with kuhuna, then meila, the halacha is true by arayis, by lo tafsi kedushin arayis. So if I have a lo tafsi kedushin over here, no, I don't have to let that forget. I don't know if I have to look arayis. I don't have to. Here it's tafsi kedushin. But the Maisa, so it wouldn't make a zone of the Etzim. She would not be Mischaleles. The woman herself would not become Pasul Truma, the woman that he took her back, the Mazik Rishasa woman. But nevertheless, but given the fact that there's a Tumah Karayis in the Pasuk, and Tumah Karayis has a halacha by Arayis that attains the child of Kuna, because in that case I have a Kal v'chomer. They go here, I need a pasuk, a miyot, says Rabbi Yeshua, that the child is fine. Namely, he toeva ibn atoeva. Comes at a whole new possible reason for the possibly tainting the child of Mazik Rishasa with Kuhuna. So we have one svar of Kal v'chomer, which may or may not be a valid Kal v'chomer because they have a pircha. That's by general chayvei lavin. That could work by Yavam Lishuk as well if we accept the Kal v'chomer from Almana. We have another possible reason to taint the child kuna by Yavam Lishuk because of the miut. What's tough to tell it to me? It's obvious. Yochan Benuri might be holding this way. He might hold that the Torah tells me the miut ibn ato'evin, it must be because he would thought why would you think the tetzis? In another case, it will be tilid. And now he's saying for Yeshua fakert, he doesn't accept that. He holds that the child even will show gets kashel kuna. So for him, it's because I would have thought that tumas sula karais would taint the child kuna. Apparently, Yochum Minuri argues on this. Yochum Minuri feels, according to the second pshat Tosfos, Yochum Minuri knows the child is pasul kuna. Why? Not because of the kavu chomer that he argues on Yeshua and he doesn't use the pircha, but because he has the miut. Why do you need mazik b'shasa to tell me the child is no good? Why would you think she's? Why would you think the child is that the same child is fine? Why do you think the child is pasul? There's no kavu chomer. El mai to tell me dafke here the child is fine, but by ivam l'shul the child is not fine. That means it's only because you don't need the pasuk. Maybe you need the pasuk as tumah karais. So you see that this nikud is not so pashut in Tosfos. That the tumah karais mazik u'shaso would be enough to say that the child be tainted l'kun. Tosfos has to work through a few hoops here. What if you say like the rabbanan that it's going on sota? No, it's in pshuta. What if you say yaker yaker? Oh, it's only after the pasuk. Could be that Yochum Minuri doesn't accept all these points. Maybe Yochum Minuri holds that. It's clear that the ikar is not going mazik b'shasa, so therefore the pasuk is there for the miut. That the vam l'shuk would be tainted. Oh, you're there. You have to know what the nekudas machokes is. Maybe other lamdash in yanin that could be told in the machokes. But this is a svar b'shua. Yochum Benuri, according to the Od Yeshalom Rav Tosfos before, it's because of the midi itzpich mazik b'shasa li toeva. V'lam l'ikra halasim ikav b'chomad almana. So now Tosfos is saying, no, but according to Yeshua, you need the pasuk. You need the pasuk because you would throw it to Makarais. So it's a whole new application to Makarais. That it's a geya to change the child. Before we discussed by Sota, to Makarais, how do you know it's going in the bowel? To ask it for the bowel. Maybe, I mean, to the oven, it's only going in the bowel. So we said, one pshat. Because my nafkamina got with the bowel. So it must be in a geya for the oven. Going to Tosfos here, you can't say, Chor, there's nafkamina for the Baal. Nafkamina for the Baal, the Benogeh that tainted the child of the Kohen. So it comes out, we can't say that Pshat anymore. Okay, so all of this is Tosfos, and so let's just see, get the words inside clearly. Just now we have it outside, let's see inside again. Let's read again. Avakasha, the Besof Nida Masik Rabbi Yeshua, the Vlad Masik Rishasa Kasha, Mishumi Toveva, the Inbonet Toevin, the Lamulikra, to tell me that the Vlad is Masik Rishasa is Kasha. Lamulikra, the Lekal Mamer Dasil Medak Abne Yavam Rishuk, that they are tainted, that's what the Pasuk is needed for. The Hal Kaman Kamra Bishum, Nate Saras, Meir Nilechem, Meir Nilechem, the Kshemakuna, Bisham, Mishum Pirchad, the Shekinat, Yafnis Chalelis. The Gemara says, come on, that Rabbi Yeshua Paskins of B'nai Tzor Sabit Shammai are fine. That means that he accepts he doesn't accept the Kavachomer. If you don't accept the Kavachomer, then what do you need the Pasuk of Mazik Rishaso for? That miut of Eminet Toevin. Says, Tosus Yeshlomer, to Rabbi Yeshua Itzpich Hi Toevin Eminet Toevin, the Lot Tema, B'nai Toevin, Mishum Dechsiba Tuma Karais. I feel Rabban Yosef and Kippur the Mukmila Asota. Hamar the Mixi Pshuta. So it's right that could be going on that case. Mask Rishas the Tum. I feel Mandam Yaki Yaker. The Kamakam Itzvechi Toeva the Lo Tema Mask Rishas and Namikoi. Kamash Milan the Hito Eva and now I know a Yaker Yak. One answer. The old another Paschal answer. The Itzvech Lei. He toeva lemiute de lo tidrosh melashin toeva shebenat toevin. You need the he banah because the toeva itself would suggest the child being toeva. Mineuve, in other words, once it says toeva, so now I would think the child is well tainted. So you need the he toeva. It's not because of lafuke to makarai. It's lafuke the word toeva itself. Uksas kasha. Now Tosfos brings an interesting question. L'chayra, all these variables that I brought in now. By Mazik Rishaso are over and above anything mentioned in the Gemara later on. The Gemara seemed to say later on, Ksas Kasha, the Kamino Kaman, the Boim Rabbi Yeshua, what was the Shadow of Rabbi Yeshua? The Nate Saros, the Beis Hillel, the Beis Shammai Mahu. That what would Rabbi Beis Shammai say on the Beis Saros of Beis Hillel that remarried without anything? And the Gemara says, my nafkamina, if you don't know Bishami, my nafkamina to know this, what Bishami would say. The Gemara says, Lemifshad Vlad Mausi Grishas. In other words, what you'll tell me to this question, what Bishami would say on the B'nai Tsaris of Bishilel, would now shed light on the B'nai Mausi Grishas. Meaning, what's the study? If I say that the problem with the children for Bishami on these B'nai Tsaris, that means that I accept the Kavachomer from Almana, so who attend B'nai Mausi Grishas? And if I say that the children are fine, means I don't accept the Kavach Omer, so Malz Grushasso also are fine. Listen, there's a lot of other variables that could affect Malz Grushasso separate from this. The Hechi Ikalam Ifshat Nina. Dilma Vlad Malz Grushasso Yeshi Lif Salmitam Tumer Dilshiba or Mishim Toeva. In other words, you could tell me Ga'olam that B'nai Tsaras of Bitsel or Bishamai are fine, and you could still have a problem Malz Grushasso because it has something that B'nai Tsaras don't have. What does it have? Either the Tumuk Sibba Karayt that says by Mazik Rishasso that doesn't say by Yevam Lishuk, or the Toeva. So for all we know, there could be a bigger problem Mazik Rishasso that doesn't exist by. So you, I don't accept the Kavach Homer, but I have this other possibility that Mazik Rishasso's children are tainted, and for Kher as well, the Inami B'nei Yevam Lishuk Psulim. And if you tell me that the B'nei Yevam Lishuk Psulim because I have a Kavach Homer, but I could still say that doesn't carry over to B'nai Mazik Rishasso because Yesh Raz B'nai Mazik Rishasso the Ito'im and Ito'im. So like, L'chaira, based on what I just told you, the whole Gemara on Testament base falls apart. Gemara seems to say it's a direct equation, a direct line between the suffix of what would be according to B'Shamay and B'Silus Tsaris. Do I accept the Kavachomer? Do I say no Mala Alman Shkiach from Yishchalelis? That's the study of Shaila. Based on what you pass in for B'Shamay, on Bisul Saris, I'll know Vlad Malzik Rishasso hinging on the same issues. Yeah, but whatever you tell me over there, based on the study of Shai that you put out, I could come out with new study to go in the opposite direction by Vlad Malzik Rishasso. As Tosa spells out. You'll tell me the Vlad of the Tsara are no good, are good. Whatever. You'll say they're no good, I'll say this is better, they're gonna have the miut. You send me that they're good, so I don't have a Kavach Homer, but I can say this is worse, that's Tumakarai, that's Toeva. Like, what's Gemara Mashana Gemara? Shlomar the inu maske that tayu hanach drushes. The Gemara there doesn't know about all these other drushes of the Tumakarayas, of Toeva, of the Hitoeva. Vilokbo Ella Yamina Kavach Homer Gabiva Moshuk alone. It's a very single-minded narrow question. Within what the Gemara is discussing, that's the Shaila. Carry over, Kavachomer, yes, no, Pircha, no Pircha, a Hartosis, no, a Hartosis, you see why, it's mamish springing in, and you realize it's like, you know, it's bringing in 2, 3, 4 different Gemaras. We're talking about this little Gemara, the Vlad Pogam, the little Rashi, but then you have the Gemara Tetzvam Beis, and then you have the Gemara Mimdaudam Beis that we connected with, and then the Sugis later on with Zona, whatever it's. Just to get Kar Pshad is sometimes an Avodah Rabbah. Avodah Kashim Mikdash. The Chazal told us a few times just to get it always clear, but Baruch Hashem, I think we did that. Say a little part on the Parsha, yeah, for the benefit of anyone who wants to hear. Okay. Okay. Say over Shtikl Chavetz Chaim. Shua and Kolik were different than everybody else. Yeshua got the reward, he took over from Moshe Rabbeinu, Kolik got the reward to get Hebron, they get singled out, Kolik especially gets singled out here. Yeshua gets singled out in the sense that his name was changed in the beginning to Yehoshua. Both of them had certain fortifications, certain things that gave them the koach to resist the miraglim. Yeshua had going for him that very name change. Yeshua's name was changed from Hoshea to Yeshua. Moshe gave the bracha, call Yoshiach HaMiatzis Meraga. And that served him well. The fact is Yeshua obviously stood up to the Meraga and was not affected by what they were going to do. And he remained intact. That's the bracha that Moshe gave him. Kolev, we don't find Moshe gave him a bracha, but Kolev took his own initiative. And he went to Hebron to Mishtateach al Kivri Yavos. By Yavo at Hebron, that he davin to Hashem by Kivri Yavos, Shiloi Nisus Rechaveira Vlios B'Atzasa. That's the Sher Dorach Ba. He went to Hebron. The question is obvious. Why do we find that Yeshua and Kolev had different mahalchim in how they would overcome the nisayon of what they had to deal with the meraglim. Kolev's mahalach was he had to go to Kibri Avos and daven by Maris Machpelah. Yeshua didn't go to Maris Machpelah. Yeshua had the bracha of Moshe Rabbeinu Kol Yashiach. Kolev didn't get that bracha of Moshe Rabbeinu. He went to Kibri Avos. And Yeshua had the bracha of Moshe Rabbeinu. Maishna. Second idea, second question. When Kolev is singled out, sounds like Hashem makes a big deal about Kolev. The Abdi Kolev, Ekev Ha'isa Ruach Cheres Imu V'Yimalei Acharoi. Yeshua was also stood up to the Meraglim, and he got to be Moshe's successor. But in this particular parsha, we don't find Hashem acknowledging Yeshua and giving credit to Yeshua. I mean, the story tells us that Yeshua and Kolev stood up. To you know, they said Tovar Tzmod Ma'od, but you don't find that Hashem singles out Yeshua, only Kalev. Yeshua also went against the Rabbi. So the Chavetz Chaim is a beautiful, beautiful interpretation here. When a person has to resist forces that are challenging to a person's convictions, there are two ways that a person can withstand those oppositional forces. Two ways to stand up to it. One approach is to go all out and with no holds barred, take off the gloves and make an outright battle. Put your chips on the table, this is where I stand. Don't even think of changing my opinion. Don't even think of influencing me. My mind is made up. I know what I think, and don't even bother, you know, trying to sell me what I think is a bill of goods of nothing. This is my shita, and you're not going to change it. You can make an argument, I'm just going to keep telling you, this is what I think, and basically come all out. Anytime they say something, say, crazy, I mean, curses, whatever, don't even, you're crazy, whatever, and rebut everything in the open. It's an open war. This was Mahalach of Yeshua. No one doubted where Yeshua stood. Yeshua was Moshe, Mesharis Moshe, and Yibachurav. Yeshua was Narwe Yomish Mitocha Oel. No one even had a question about Yeshua was basically going to come back saying that we're going to go to Israel. So they took him along. He was there. He was chosen. But no one, they knew they didn't have a chance to try to influence Yeshua in terms of his days. The danger for Yeshua was a physical danger. Because Meraglim is so snaggy to Yeshua's Shita, so for all you know, they could harm him, just like Yosef HaTzadik. When he was a child, he aroused the kinna of all the other brothers, and they did what they did to him. They threw him in a pit. They almost killed him. They ended up selling him. So Yeshua's Nisayon was a very physical danger that he could have been when his presence was obviously a thorn in their eyes. Because obviously they knew that they weren't going to win him over, and therefore they saw him as the antagonist. So the bracha of Moshe Rabbeinu was very much connected to the fact that he was going to a makom sakana. You find yourself in a neighborhood which is unfriendly to who you are. You walk in a yarmulke in certain neighborhoods in the South Bronx, Chais or Harlem at night, or a Jew goes to an Arab village, in Eretz Yisrael. Clearly a Jew, you're in danger. Yeshua was in a makom sakana. To be among the Kamdei Meraglim clearly had a different agenda than he. That was the need for the bracha of Kol Yashiach. Kolev was different. Kolev felt that the way that he would fight the Meraglim would be that he would not make it clear at all where he stood, where his convictions were. On the outside, he might play the game to be going along with what they're, you know, to be within their camp. He felt that if he does that, he'll have a better chance when everyone comes back to be able to make his case to sway B'nai Yisrael in a positive direction, which is in fact what he did. When they come back, Vayaz Koiv is on the Moshe. Suddenly Koiv gets to speak. What allowed Koiv to speak? Because Rashi brings the Medrash that Koiv picked up on what they were saying. He says, you think this is the only thing that Ben Amram did for us? Ben Amram is, at first glance, a way of speaking about Moshe, which is derogatory. Ben Amram, and everyone thought he's about to say, heap on Moshe more insults. And instead he says, oh, to the contrary, Moshe Rabbeinu, he split the sea, gave us the mud, of course we'll get to Eretz Yisrael. He took the moment and he tried to turn the tables. The reason why he had the platform was because they saw him as one of them. And that was his strategy, to be the fifth column. Now, why did Koiv need to go to Chevron? For that very reason. He needed spiritual chizuk. Yeshua didn't need to go to Chevron because Yeshua's convictions weren't going to be shaken. The issue for Yeshua was the physical component. He could be in danger, his physical life, and his welfare, his well-being, his health, whatever. In the face of the Meraglim who hated him. Koiv didn't have the physical fear. So Koiv Shiach was not needed for Koiv. Koiv's fear was that sometimes being a fifth column can erode your own convictions. Because you're constantly in the inn and they're sharing all their lashon hara with you and they're sharing all their ideas with you, so you have to constantly reinforce what you think, what you believe to be true in your eyes for yourself. Because if you don't do that, then little by little you will begin to buy their narrative, begin to believe some of what they're saying. That's why Koiv needed to go to Chevron to say, you know, even though my sakana is a different type of sakana. My sakana is that they're going to affect my mindset. They're going to affect my hashkaf. And he needed to come to Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov and say, I'm doing this l'shem shemayim. I'm in a situation, my surroundings are such that this is not the proper hashkafa that I know to be true, but yet I'm afraid that it's going to affect the way I think about things. And therefore you need to go to Kibbe Avos. Which approach is more appropriate? Which approach is better? Chofetz Chaim says, they're both good. Can't tell me one is better than the other. There's two different approaches. They're both appropriate b'darkei Hashem. Just have to be aware in each situation what the pitfalls are. On the one hand, the first approach, you're more guaranteed to keep your values strong, but you have to also recognize that you're going to antagonize more people. The other way, you're more diplomatic. You're not antagonizing people, but then you're ma'uriv with them. You don't set a clear line, and maybe have more potential to influence the masses when they're going to hear the other propaganda. You can counter it because you have a more nuanced view and you have a more appropriate shita. But the problem is that being around people like this too often, too long, has its own potential to erode your own values. And therefore, the main thing is to be able to appreciate that each approach has a ma'ala and a chesaron, and be able to work on what you have to work on to counter the potential chesaron that exists in any given situation. Therefore, at the end of the day, sometimes the pasuk is putting Yeshua first, sometimes Koiv first, because just like they said, the Moshe Aaron Shneim Shkulim, of course Yeshua was greater. Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Torah to Yeshua, but the fact is, in terms of the drachim and what is Hashem, they're both Shkulim. Hashem singles out Koiv specifically here because of this inyan of Ruach Acheres Imo, that he was able to hold his own, even though he was mingled with the Meraglim. That's why he got special acknowledgement in terms of his ability to overcome that Nisayim. That's why Yeshua doesn't get mentioned. Yeshua had the Shemira of Moshe Rabbeinu, that he wasn't physically harmed. But in terms of being singled out, that was a particular inyan that Hashem was singling out Koiv, because for that aspect, that was Koiv that was unique and not Yeshua. But in terms of the general halach of how to deal with situations, that are, again, dangerous spiritually, physically. Again, these are the two different approaches. It's a very beautiful, beautiful way of analyzing the parasha here. And Yishma Chacham Yosef Lekach, you know, every situation, we have to know in the world that we go out to the world that there are times that we have to draw a line in the sand so that we know that we keep our shmira that way. And we make sure that we don't that we protect ourselves if we're among the bad guys that could be chashed as shvichas damim or something short of it. Obviously, that's one issue. On the other hand, when you have to be involved with people who have thinking differently, and especially if they have an agenda which is very negative, we have to find our own sources of chizuk, just like Kalev did, in order to keep ourselves strong. But the Kalev is again that able to keep chayim. Asa b'shamek hidivrayim, bracha naslacha negad Shabbos.